It's another one of those high-quality breaks at MojoCon 2017. I've just literally downed possibly the most delicious vanilla ice cream tub I've ever had, which was delivered by a very kind member of staff. Paul Gailey, you didn't get any ice cream.
I didn't get any ice cream because I was busy showing you something in the meantime. So
we've just watched the kind of the VR storytelling panel. Can you refresh us who was on the panel and the kind of topics they covered? Because this is something you are immersed in, to use the right word.
Yeah, so the panel was led by virtual Sarah Jones, with featuring Sarah Hill, another a VR professional, so we say, from StoryUp Studios, Jebel of Immersively, and Robert Hernandez, USC Annenberg professor, and also Max from Insta360. And we covered a whole series of aspects, from ethics to kit to narrative to evidence of success of VR in storytelling techniques. The whole gamut.
Great intro. A lot of people asking me beforehand if they could come and have a talk with me, even though for me I'm literally just playing in this space. And then, you know, I was, go and watch this talk because you're going to get a really good intro on what's going on. Is there anything not covered that you would like to have heard more? Because I got really excited about audio. I could have heard a lot more about the problems of creating a decent audio workflow.
Yeah.
It's almost like an afterthought for everything nowadays. Yeah, I think 60% of the story is in audio a lot of the time.
Yeah. So spatial audio, which is the ability of audio to be directionally sensitive in VR, adds this this really great effect of immersion. It, you know, wherever there's a noise, we turn our heads to then see it. And if that happens in VR, much like you might see, for example, in a classic horror movie where the director's always slightly out of sync with the noise or with the view, it makes a really effective and compelling kind of experience. But the production of spatial audio for VR, for 360 video, is quite fussy, it's quite fiddly, and particularly from a mobile perspective, it takes a lot of post-production. There's no standard platform of how audio, spatial audio, is transmitted, you know, between the big platforms. And the kit, the kit for like mid to high level audio is there, but for, should we say, sort of low to consumer level 360 cameras, they tend to skimp on audio. And so there are more options coming out all the time. You know, there was a reference to a certain manufacturer's 360 camera, which was all the rage last year.
We can mention them. We've mentioned an Insta360, and I mean, I and you also own and were, maybe still are, big fans of the Ricoh Theta.
Yeah, the Ricoh Theta. We're big fans of Ricoh Theta at Everyworld. We've done development with it because principally it's an open. It's an open camera.
But it was announced dead on stage. How did you feel about that?
Yeah.
I know roughly because you tweeted a very intriguing picture almost immediately.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago at NAB in Vegas, the new Theta was announced. It was sort of glass encased, but it did have an audio jack at the bottom. And it is going to feature spatial audio, and that's going to integrate spatial audio with 360 consumer level camera. And they make a particularly good camera because they've always had a great way of bringing the lenses very close together, which reduces this kind of like
Manky hand.
Manky hand, otherwise known as parallax, or sort of the stitch line, which can break immersion in itself. So for close level 360, that's really good, and they've got really good technology that brings the lenses closer together.
I should really talk to Insta360 about that, because their lenses are slightly offset, but I noticed that the thumb button, if you're using the manual button, is really quite close to the lens, and it probably doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
So it's very visible in shots.
Yeah, we tend to use a skinny pole, as skinny a pole as you can to do a 360, even with a handheld, because it reduces the kind of the weird hand kind of feature. But Insta have got a really great range of cameras that they've really drastically reduced the price of, made them much more accessible, and they have some nifty little animations
use that more than any other feature, because it is sometimes a chore taking somebody away from what it is they're currently viewing in to go to the place where the 360 is embedded. And in some way, I like carrying my media that I've created with me so that I can back it on myself, not rely like I have done for years on third parties promising to embed that for as long as their startup exists.
Yeah, I know. That is a case. That said, I think there's a really great argument for self-publishing 360 if you want to take it seriously, rather than solely relying on the platforms, because otherwise, you know, we'll all end up on, you know, two or three platforms as open web as way distant memory.
How easy is it to do that, though, to host your own 360 experiences, whether they be video or stills?
Well, there is a growing tendency for web VR to come to the fore now, where you can actually publish 360 video in the browser, which is, you know, the nirvana of the metaverse, so that you can have a fully linked 360 experience or VR experience. And that's not completely supported yet, but it is changing quite rapidly. So there remains this app model of publishing VR content, which medium-sized publishers can still successfully do and self-publish, and then they can consider kind of like preview content on the bigger platforms. You know, I mean, if you're a 360 publisher, you've got a massive opportunity of where you wish to publish, you know, whether it's the big platforms that are really desperate for this content, because it does tend to take, you know, the mid-level productions tend to take a lot more post-production time than regular video. That's for certain, yeah.
Everywhere, your company seems to be quite agile when it comes to filling in all the gaps. You tend to see something, oh, why is nobody doing that? Let's do that. Why is nobody doing that? Let's do that. Give us a couple of examples of things you are doing that people are catching on to.
Right, so we launched a year ago here at MojoCon 2, VR Fix, which is a metadata injection tool app on Android. It's now available also on iOS. What that allows you to do as a video editor is re-inject the metadata that's been lost during traditional video editing. Up until very recently, most video editors, even mobile video editors, didn't have this built in. This is a standalone app that allows you to re-inject that metadata for when your mobile 360 editing, which, let's face it, is going to happen more and more with the power of phones. Unfortunately, because of the way that both YouTube and Facebook work, they require this metadata. It's a shame that only a few months ago, in fact, Vridio, which was an excellent platform for 360 video to upload, this service, it just closed overnight, literally. None of that 28 days notice. Wow. It closed with like 3 days notice. They had several hundred thousand videos on there, and you could just upload without metadata injection. YouTube still require it. It's not server side. It has to be done on the file side. So if you don't metadata inject your 360 video, you will get the flat 360, which will, you know, is not the way that it's intended to be viewed. So with a mobile YouTube app, iOS or Android, you can magic window or touch swipe any 360 video. So that's the one tool that we launched last year. Since then, we were accelerated under Numa Barcelona and exited stealth, should we say, during Mobile World Congress. And we have another app which is called Sferi, which is under closed beta at the moment, so Sferi.me. It's an app to do a live 360 production to the social platforms and add elements into the video sphere in real time. So we're talking Periscope, we're talking Facebook, we're talking other platforms where you can add in elements, whether that's logos, text, animation, doodles, that kind of stuff, which begins to sort of cross over into the AR world.
So you're augmenting the 360 experience in real time?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I saw what ThingLink talks about. Is it a similar kind of, because I'm a big fan of ThingLink, you know, I'm glad they're still going and doing a lot for education as well.
Yeah.
Similar to that?
Well, it's mobile only, so we concentrate on a mobile only workflow. The ThingLink examples that we saw there, they kind of mix 2D items with 3D, and so if you're watching that in a headset, it's going to break in that respect, you know. What we're doing is allowing a real-time production to send these items into the sphere, you know, during the broadcast itself.
Any videos of that demoed online anywhere?
Yeah, we've got one. If you go to every WOA.
Spell that.
So that's every and then WOAH. .com, you will be able to see the an example that we did with Ocho Aldea Pipo Serrano, who's another 360 pro, who he's here. We did some live Periscope broadcasts with elements in the sphere during Mobile World Congress.
What? Oh, wow. Yeah. I'd love to see that, because you're throwing out a very familiar scene now, people doing 360 into Periscope, but you've got elements that nobody else has. It sounds like you're hacking the space.
Yeah, yeah. And If you've followed this area, you'll see that Facebook have announced recently what's called the AR Studio, which allows brands and organizations to put filters on top of, and those can be dumb filters. Well, when I say dumb filters, they're filters that work on object recognition, so that might be face recognition, similar to what Snapchat have done. But they also allow other data sources to be brought in real time live. So they gave an example during their recent conference where Manchester United fan was celebrating a goal. His face was painted in real time and the face paint stuck to his cheeks. Confetti fell from the sky. And then we had a real time data football statistics of what was going on all at that moment. And that platform's being opened up to developers, and that's a really exciting option because it's across a massive network. You know, it's across all of their properties, not just the feed, it's across Messenger, it's across Instagram. And so that's the AR lens filter, which is very similar to what we've done right now with Periscope, and what we're working on.
It's interesting. A throwaway tweet of mine during the presentation was, if you think pop-up ads annoy you now in video, you wait till it's ganging up on you. Advertisements are ganging up on you in 360 degrees. Yeah. It's going to happen, isn't it?
Well,
you're putting objects in, but I bet you they're useful objects
at
the moment.
Yeah, let's be clear. At the moment, Facebook have got a very strict and I think a rational policy of saying this is not a branding bandwagon to jump on straight away. You know, we're not going to admit logos to be slapped in here straight away. And that's, you know, it's understandable. They will probably monetize it in due course.
The first object I threw in was on the Insta 360. I love the fact I could have my avatar instead of the manky hand.
Yes, of course. You can put your avatar in as an idea.
Without even thinking it's advertisement, it is, isn't it? Product placement, it's my avatar there to say, this is my video.
Yeah. But let's imagine you want to annotate inside that in real time, or you want to add another element on there. That's what we're looking at. What the AR platform allows is that to be intelligently done algorithmically based on the content of that video. So recognizing that it's a cup of coffee, yep, and putting smoke on top of the coffee or vapor, or recognizing that it's a ball, making it spin, that kind of
craziness,
enrichment, yeah. Is mad.
Wow. Yeah. So that's something you're looking forward to in the future. Where can people find your body of work? You've got a couple of really interesting apps and a website showing some great storytelling, which was also covered in today's panel.
Yeah, so you can find all our information at everywoah.com, or the short URL is woah.es. We're based out of Barcelona, but we serve people everywhere. So,
and people can find you online.
And they can find myself online, Paul Gailey, G-A-I-L-E-Y, at Paul Gailey on Twitter and .com, whatever.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.